This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Stephanie Longmuir and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT and I community. To encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking. And most importantly, facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Well, thanks for joining us tonight and thank you to Chris and Cam for a great show and their final Thursday show. They will be kicking off on Fridays in, I think it's a month's time. So we will look forward to having Chris and Cam back then and, of course, Tristan. And I'd also like to thank Beck for the news. Across the desk from me, I have Clayton, who is panelling tonight. And you might hear a few questions from Clayton. But in the studio, we have a studio full of women tonight. I have Beck.
Hi, Steph. I'm glad you're all back this week.
I know. Well, it's good to be back. And I missed last week.
I was scared last week.
Well, you did beautifully, so you shouldn't be scared. But tonight we are talking women's health and particularly women's sexual health. So we have some special guests in with us. We have Jean.
Hello.
And we have Ruby.
Hey.
And I am going to begin tonight by apologising in advance for any dumb questions because, you know, there's not a lot of information in the mainstream media about bisexual and lesbian women's sexual health. Mm-hmm. I've done some research online, so, you know, I've done a bit of... But I think as a group, especially bisexual women and, you know, lesbian women, aren't that visible. And, there's, you know, we've got a lot to learn. So I'm going to say I'm sorry in advance if I ask anything that's stupid.
No.
But we're all here to learn.
Dumb straight girl questions.
Yeah, I don't think there is a stupid question about sexual health, especially,
absolutely
though.
Absolutely not.
Okay. We might learn something, Steph, that we can...
I thought I was going to blush tonight, but when we came in, I was like, no, it might go the other way around.
Maybe I will do a bit of blushing, but no one can see that. You probably get lots of stupid questions from straight people. I mean, how do you cope with especially around sex? How do you cope with that? Do you answer people straight up or what's your tactic?
I guess it depends on how well I know the person and if I think they're actually going to listen and how if the dumb question was like a dumb question about how does it work or was it a dumb question like, so does that mean that, you know, you want to have threesomes all the time? Yeah. I'm bisexual, by the way. Yeah. So that's a question that I would probably not answer as opposed to if someone's like, but how does, like, scissoring work? And then it'd be like, oh, okay, well, look, here's how I'll help with the mystery for you guys.
I'll draw you a
picture.
No
worries. I'll take the time and explain how it works.
I'm getting less of those questions now. When I was coming out, it wasn't that they wanted to know what I was doing. They just wanted to tell me all the kinky stuff they were getting up to, thinking that was just an avenue to tell.
And they used it as an opening, so to speak.
So they were looking for endorsement.
I think I have no idea what they were looking for, but I wasn't wanting to be part of that conversation or threesome, foursome, whatever they had in mind. Yeah.
Okay. And Gina, we've had you in the studio before. We had your fantastic coming out story a few weeks ago, and we were talking, and I'm a little bit older, but we're a similar generation, and we were talking about where we found information about sex, and and you talked about the Dolly factor and getting your information.
Well, Dolly kind of told me how to have heterosexual sex, but it did lead me to support groups for finding my people. And I found out, and we're talking over 20 years ago, I was finding out about safe sex from gay men and from being a volunteer at VAC. Wasn't really lesbian focused at the time. But
why do you think that was?
I mean, the VAC was doing amazing things in the community at the time with the HIV crisis and just supporting gay men. And that was the only focus at that point in time. So that's where I was getting the information I needed to know. And a lot of it crosses over. And there was an assumption that it doesn't cross over. But most of the information I then received from... I attended a lesbian support group when I was 16, and my first day I rocked up, they taught me how to use a dental dam, which is fantastic.
But just coming back to that that time in history, and I think, you know, with the AIDS epidemic in the late 80s and the early 90s, we all became very aware of men's and gay men's sexual health. So we all had a knowledge of that. But it's interesting to hear that on the back of that, you managed to get some information as well.
Gay men were my best allies at that time.
And great support. And what about for you, Ruby? Because you sort of are a little bit younger and probably had access to different information.
Well, I was going to say, because Dolly and Cleo was actually, I remember when I was like 13 or 14 or 15 reading about STDs, and I remember quite vividly some of the, you know, explanations about STDs, like learning, for example, that, you know, you could get herpes from someone with cold sores going down on you. Exactly. I learned that from Cleo. But now, I guess, then it was quickly the internet. School did some, my school did some pretty good stuff about STDs and actually did focus. But they, again, there was very little about women on women's sex.
I got to watch Degrassi High, and it was all about not getting pregnant.
I learned a lot from Degrassi High.
And I guess like now it's the internet. I don't know. There's a few like web comics that are actually really good. Oh Joy Sex Toy is really good. Like it like is really, you know, it's people who try out different sex toys for women and for men and for both and for all different combinations, and that's a really cool thing to have. I think I'm quite lucky in that. But I didn't know what a dental dam was when I first saw one, and I was at a minus 18 event, so I was 16 and I was walking out and they had big boxes of condoms and a big box of another little kit, and I was like, oh, what's that? And I like, you know, opened it up and like read the instructions. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I'd never even heard of it before.
Well, it's something that's pretty new to Beck and I, and we are going to come back.
We've got a lot of questions.
We've got some more questions about the dental dam. You are on Joy 94.9.
Told me about Fred, he's such a hairy behemoth, she said. Dumb as a box of hammers, but he's such a handsome guy. And I opened up and I told her about Larry, and yesterday how he asked me to marry, and I'm not giving him an answer yet. I think I can do better. So we left, compared notes. Off her overcoat, I kissed a girl. She called home to say she'd be late. He said he worried, but now he feels safe. I'm glad you're with your girlfriend. Tell her hi for me. And then I looked at you, you had guilt in your eyes, but it only lasted a little while. And then I felt your hand above my knee. And we laughed at the world. They can have their diamonds and we'll have our pearls. I kissed a girl. I kissed a girl.
Hi, this is Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party, and you're lucky to be listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I have Gina and Ruby in the studio and also Beck, and we are talking lesbian and bisexual women's sexual health. And
we are learning stuff.
We are learning great stuff. And before we went to the break, we were talking about dental dams, which kind of then led us, while the song was playing, into a whole discussion around first sexual experiences. So I'm going to kind of rein it all back in, because the stuff that we've been talking about is really interesting. And let's just rewind to the dental dam.
Happy to do that.
Okay.
I think one of the biggest things is that it's not just lesbians and bisexual women who have oral sex with women. So dental dams are not just for women having sex with women. Like, if a woman doesn't know a guy, or if, you know, he has cold sores, she can use a dental dam and he can still go down on her.
Why should you miss out on...
It's interesting, though. You know how you were saying, like, there some of the, you know, education you got was missing the lesbian or the bisexual kind of element. As straight people, that's not even something that we ever get, you know, taught or think about. You know, I was saying I thought a dental dam when I heard the word was like what the dentist uses to make the mold out of your mouth, out of your braces, which I've since learnt it's not.
No.
But it's not something that even gets talked about in straight
and
world.
It's something that is not easily accessible. You won't find it at Safeway on the shelf, the same place you'll find condoms.
Yeah, so where do you buy a dental dam?
Look, there are sex shops, of course, will sell them. VAC are fantastic. You can go to any sort of, you know, clinics and pick these up. You can make them as well, can't you, Ruby?
Yeah, you can make them from a condom.
Yes.
Pretty cheap. You just need to cut it up the side and pull it out.
It's like craft.
Yeah. It is. Also, order them online is always good too.
But why wouldn't supermarkets stock them? I mean, that's crazy because they are.
Ask the question.
Condoms are everywhere. They're at the Servo.
Well, dental dams are purely for women's protective sexual health.
Yeah.
And coming back to that.
Yeah. They probably have GSTs.
Do you think that there is an assumption out there that lesbian women aren't prone to sexually transmitted infections?
I think there's a huge misconception, not only amongst the straight community, but also amongst the lesbian community
about having sex with women.
Absolutely.
It didn't even occur to, like, I didn't even think that, oh, of course you'd be able to transmit things.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense that without what I'd learned sex was, which was a penis and a vagina, it wasn't that. So it wasn't going to be a sexually transmitted disease or infection.
And, you know, there's the assumption because there's not the same amount of bodily fluids exchanged, that sort of thing.
Depends what you're doing.
I was going to say.
Well, that's why I kind of
want to get that specific.
Okay.
On the topic of dental dams, also do not forget to use a water-based lube if you are using them.
Just make on the one side, though.
I was about to say, make sure you know which side of bread to butter kind of thing when it comes to use.
And just in case that wasn't clear, lube does not generally taste good, so don't put it on the side that your mouth is on.
Well, if it's your sort of flavour, you can pop it on both sides, I suppose.
Yeah,
if you're chocolate-flavoured, maybe.
Well, lube is like, you know, your genitals don't actually have taste buds, so if there's flavour going on,
we are learning so much.
So access to some of the equipment that you require as lesbian and bisexual women is not easy. I mean, what are some of the other challenges that lesbian and bisexual women face in the healthcare system, for instance?
Talking to a GP, I think, because I think there's just that kind of nervousness beforehand of, are they actually going to get it? Will they take it seriously? As a bisexual, you know, some of the older doctors at least now kind of understand that gays and lesbians are real. Bisexuals still kind of not so much. So they're like, wait, you have sex with men and women. What? Like, it does, you know, you can see it kind of turning around in their heads as they try and figure out what that actually would mean. And generally it's just like, okay, well, the same stuff they'd tell you if you were just sleeping with a guy.
And the thing is, I had a really negative experience with a female GP when I was much, much younger. But I've got friends that spend more time choosing their vet for their pet than their own GP. And I'm a huge advocate of having a GP that knows you and knows your history, including your sexual history, in order to get the reminders of when a pap smear is due, reminders of when, you know, breast check needs to be done, just normal standard female health issues. But reading up on some studies before I came on tonight, unfortunately, it is still an issue that not as many women have not only a regular GP but will not disclose their sexuality to their GP for fear of being discriminated against. And I've experienced that. I was very young. It took me a long time to then get the stuff that I needed to get to sort out my own health.
So, Gina, do you now have a GP, yeah. and did you choose a male GP or a female GP, or did that matter?
Well, I had a really negative experience. So I had a family Greek GP, yes. if you remember when I,
yeah,
from my coming
Greek
out
GP
story.
Yeah, but was very but nice I, to you was, coming
I,
out.
I did not want to, he was like my uncle. I did yeah. not want to go and get pap smear or have, you know.
Breast checks
yeah. and all that sort of yeah. stuff with him. So I deliberately went out and found a female GP thinking I would feel more comfortable and went into a clinic, a bulk billing clinic one day because I didn't want to tell my parents I had no money and had a awful experience. The minute we sat down to kind of go over my sexual history and I was open and said I was a lesbian, it went downhill from there and it got very aggressive. In fact, wow. I left the clinic without giving my details because I'd arrived late and I was taken in without giving my name and actually left the clinic without any information. I then went back to my family GP, reported what had happened. He wanted to report it higher, but I was still too scared and I just wanted it to be done. But now I actually have a female GP, but it's taken a lot of me going out and finding who I'm comfortable with because it's really important.
Was that just a process of elimination or did you do some research? Did you go to a sexual health clinic or to a special?
Now you can actually go online and find, you know, GPs that specialise in our health. But I did it through a process of elimination of just testing out a few when you got a cold or something and
seeing
how
comfortable. It's like trying to find shoes. Yeah, you know, you try them on for a bit, go for a walk. It's rubbing in the wrong places. It's not going to work out. Yeah.
And so I guess, sorry. I was just going to say, what strikes me is that if there is this sort of attitude from some GPs, which is leading to a fear of women disclosing their real sexual history, then there's some real dangers there for women for not getting the advice that they need or not reporting things that they should
be. 40% is the last statistic I saw of women not admitting.
And I don't think that's even, like, to be fair, I would say that's for a lot of women, I would say that's just not a queer woman thing. That's just a woman thing, you know. Like, and I think it's more so for queer women because then it comes with the baggage of, as well as the slut shaming or the sex shaming that happens, is also the deviantness of being queer. And unfortunately, being queer and being sexually kinky have been so connected by a lot of the heterosexual world that, you know, they, when you tell them that you're not straight, especially bisexual, doctors can assume that you do irresponsible stuff.
You just want to have sex with everyone.
Basically, and it's really frustrating because bisexual women actually face more sexual assault than lesbians or straight women, mostly by men, because there's this, again, assumption that we're hypersexualized, and it's so frustrating to see that in, you know, a medical practitioner. You don't go back. You just say, it's not that bad, I'll just ignore it. It's probably nothing anyway, and, you know, wait and see what happens.
And I guess that compounds, you know, the problem, and as you say, you know, lesbian women have health issues around, you know, not having pap smears, not having mammograms, not because of this initial fear, and that affects their overall health on a long-term basis.
And my story is a story I've heard from far too many women. So I can understand why women don't want to do this. And again, people make the assumption that you should only have a pap smear if you're having sex with a man. Untrue. Cervical cancer, you know, from smoking. There's so many, you know, things that can make you more at risk of having cervical cancer. You need to be having pap smears as a regular sex health check anyway.
And I think that's really interesting you say that, because all the advertising, you know, you've ever seen about pap smears is if you're over 18 and you've had sex or something like that. But I think, you know, it's always that thought is you've had sex with a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to what I was saying, that I think there's some real dangers for the medical system not understanding.
I think linking any medical procedure with the idea of having sex, given how women are treated for having sex, is just a terrible idea, because it puts women off getting pap smears. Like, well, I don't want to admit that I've had sex, or I don't want people to know that I've had sex. I'm not going to get that done.
Or conversely, some women don't want to admit that they haven't had sex.
Yeah, exactly. And if they're smokers or whatever, they can still be at huge risk.
That's right. So
we are talking women's sexual health tonight on Stand Up Straight. We would love to hear from you. So if you would like to send an SMS, 0427 569 949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You are listening to Stand Up Straight. I'm so fancy. You are ready.
Hi, my name is Bella, and you're listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
Remember my name. thank you for joining us on Stand Up Straight tonight. You're in the studio with Beck and Ruby and Gina, and we also have Clayton running the desk, but Clayton's been very quiet tonight amongst the women and women's sexual health issues. But he has been talking a little bit during the breaks and is very interested in what we're saying. In fact, he might like to say something.
I am very interested. And it's not like, you know, there's so many women around because I get to speak so often normally. So.
So before the break, we were talking about healthcare professionals and some lesbian and bisexual women's reluctance and the reason for that reluctance. And they're very, very real reasons. But perhaps you can tell me, you know, some of the important health issues that lesbian and bisexual women should discuss with their healthcare professional?
I think, you know, safe use, the understanding of that there is safe sex for lesbians and women having sex with women. Like, you know, again, dental dams, yeah. Sexual education about that, and also protective oral sex in general, which is not really kind of touched on at school much. Yeah. So that's one thing as well. The proper use of sex toys, especially, and also, you know, the fact that you can use gloves and stuff for fingering if you don't know the person.
Keeping your nails short, like really basic stuff.
That one's like, that's freaking obvious.
And,
like,
and that's a good tip.
But some people don't, acrylic nails, like just, oh.
And oh, that makes my eyes water, Ruby.
Look, apparently you
made
can.
Made mine too.
It also because it might damage lots of things. But it might also damage, if you are using latex gloves, it might damage gloves as well. And I know some people use cotton buds at the end. No, just be kind to your fellow woman and trim your nails. So,
that's a good takeaway from tonight.
Another one most people don't talk about, but I know the lads do, is don't brush your teeth 2 hours before having oral sex, because you've all brushed your teeth and you might spit out and there might be some blood. So that's another thing to be mindful of. A lesser known fact, when you are wanting to be safe with your partner, that's one thing to consider.
Wow. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
But everyone should know that.
Everyone should know that. Look, I know morning breath, everyone gets a bit nervous. They're like, you know,
just
pop pop a mint. It's much easier.
In your backpack of sexual safety.
So
you saw that at the
back. Yeah, I did.
So with those first experiences, are you happy to talk about your first sexual experience?
Do you want to go
Jenna
first,
and Ruby?
No, I don't.
Because how do you know this stuff? I mean, are you with people who help you and guide you? I mean, is there a lot of communication in lesbian relationships or bisexual relationships?
There should be.
There should be in any relationship. But honestly, no. The times I've been intimate with women, when I was 16, even just recently, we both had very little clue. And we were both, but I think the advantage was that we could communicate that. I mean, it was actually worse when I was 16 or 17 because we both just were kind of fumbling and embarrassed about it and didn't really know what to say. And it was still, you know, we were both dealing with the fact that I was dealing with the fact that I was with a woman and I was really into her in that way. And my friends were responding differently and everything. And it was, and we're just not quite getting things right, not quite knowing where bits were, realizing that we hadn't really talked about the clitoris in sex ed, all that kind of stuff. Like just really having to figure it out in an awkward teenage silent way. When you're older, it was a lot easier. Much easier.
Because I think, you know, when you're straight, you've learned about how sex works from when you're in, I don't know, year three or whatever, where they teach you at school. And you've taught...
Do they? We get told off about safe schools. What?
Yeah, I know. What? I don't know where I went to school. But, you know, you get taught how the bits work and also how to be safe with the bits, whereas that's another bit of the education that I think is missing.
We did talk about this off air.
Sorry.
Bits. No, I'm comfortable with bits too. The first person I hooked up with, I have to be honest, and it's very embarrassing, I did chicken out the first night. So we'd kind of almost, it was really, I was 16, okay, I was really young. Yeah. So we'd almost like planned the official, okay, let's get it on day, and you can play that song anytime you like. And
I like that it was planned.
But I was really nervous, and I wanted to do right by my partner. She was much older than myself, and I knew she was much more experienced than myself.
And was she a girlfriend, or was she a friend, or was she...
I wouldn't have called her a girlfriend,
like
but
a
she
love
was a
interest
friend. She was
an educator.
She was cute. she was meant to be an educator.
We've all been there, Jenny.
But I didn't know what to do, and again, I sought out support from my gay male friends too, because I was all across, okay, I want to do this safely and I want to do the right thing, and the lads were the ones that said, you know, kind of got me ready for the evening. And then you get there And she was not interested in safe sex. And no matter how much I knew and how much I thought I'd be doing the right thing, you don't. You're 16. You're young. You're scared.
Yeah.
And you kind of end up doing stuff that you thought you'd never say yes to, which for me was having unsafe sex. And we are playing Let's Get It On.
It's just a faint little undercurrent.
And yes, it was great at the time. I'm not saying, you know, but I found myself doing things that I thought I wouldn't be doing, which was having unsafe sex. As much as of all the information I had, I kind of fell into the trap of just trust this older person to know what they're doing.
So as an older person now,
yes,
what would your advice be to younger lesbians?
Don't be afraid to speak up and talk about safe sex before. Like, have it as part of the foreplay conversation if you need to. Yeah. Find out about people's sexual history. Just find out about them. I mean, people laugh at me. I see everyone Tindering and swiping left and right. And I'm like, so what did you do on your first date? And they laugh at me. Like, apparently first dates don't happen anymore.
That's not true.
That's not true.
I'm old school. Like, have dinner. Take someone out. Take them to a gallery. Like, take a bit of time
with
someone.
Free food.
Apparently that doesn't happen anymore and I get laughed at. So.
Well, see, I think it's interesting because, like as far as, like, the bisexual stereotype goes, it takes me a long time to be comfortable enough to do that. And that is due to a whole bunch of stuff. As a bisexual women especially, because we don't really have as much access to the gay community as lesbian women can do. So we don't often get even that kind of... So I didn't have any gay guys I knew who could tell me about. My brother was gay and he was having hugely irresponsible sex everywhere because he was also young and dealing with all the stuff. So we were both kind of dealing with it in different ways. I think it's... And that's an issue as well because they don't... Like, things like... women who have sex with women, bisexual or lesbian, 90% of them have also had sex with a man.
Yes,
unwanted pregnancy is actually really high in non-straight women. It's higher than it is because often, you know, if you're bisexual, it might not be reminded that you should be taking contraception or some form, maybe not the pill, since apparently that now causes mental illness as well, but, you know, some form of contraception that you can become pregnant. I think that's really important to remember. Yeah. If you're bisexual, that is a risk. And even if you're a lesbian, you might have still had sex with a guy and you need to be careful.
I think there's an assumption that lesbians have never had sex with a man. And I think that assumption needs to just be quashed because it depends when a woman has actually come out in her life. We were reviewing a film, Go Fish, which is a film from 1994. And one of the characters in that film, it's a brilliant film, I recommend people watch it, but one of the characters, Daria, who's very sexually active with women, in the film she has sex with a man. And then she gets torn off the street and interrogated about it. And she's got this gorgeous line in the film. And I can't remember it exactly, but it's basically... What is the length of time that I need to wait before I can reclaim my lesbian title again? That whole thing that a lesbian may never have had sex with a man or may never have sex with a man in future is absolutely incorrect.
I think,
and people shouldn't, you know, just make that assumption.
I think statistically, a lot of lesbians, perhaps more than half, their first sexual experience is with a man. Because they haven't come out, or they haven't become aware of, you know, because, you know, when heteronormativity is so much, like, you know, just considered the norm, a lot of women wouldn't even consider that they're not heterosexual until they meet a woman who makes them feel differently.
Do you think the same assumption applies to gay men?
I don't know. We'll have to ask one.
Yeah. Clayton?
I don't know either.
Now, what about lesbian porn?
How awkward story start, Steph?
I don't know. Just as an educator.
We weren't briefed on this question.
It's not an educator. I'm sorry. Like, no. There's actually a really funny video that I recommend people check out, which is Lesbians Watch Lesbian Porn. And it is lesbians watching lesbian porn and pointing out all the ways why it's
not
BS.
Lesbian porn.
Yeah, you know, why is she deep-throating a shoe? You know, why they're putting so many fingers inside of her that wouldn't, you know, that's
and
not
And the
necessary.
Nails, oh my God.
And the nails.
Like, seriously.
Also faking orgasms. They you know,
yeah,
just,
no.
And it lesbian porn, the majority of it, as we think of lesbian porn, is manufactured very much for straight men.
Right.
And there is
that's
very
what I was
going to
ask. Is it really made? It's not really made for women.
No.
I think there are lesbian filmmakers out there making lesbian porn for lesbian, but the joke is that, like, the introduction and the lead up to it just goes for too long and you get forward too far in to get to the action. I don't know. Apparently there's a storyline.
And then they move in together at the end of it.
Exactly. So, yeah. With an Alan King.
A cat's there.
And
flannel.
Is it true, and I only saw this in a movie, so this is a really dumb blonde straight girl question, is it true that lesbians like watching male gay porn?
So lesbians and bisexual.
I think a lot of women like watching gay male porn. I do. I know some straight friends, straight girls who definitely do.
I never have.
But yeah.
I think it's each to their own, yeah. But no, not for me.
I think in some ways I kind of like, I like the removal of like having to, because a lot of porn is straight porn is like, or penetrative porn with a penis is so derogatory.
Yes.
So it's really hard to watch. Ugly. So yeah. It's a kind of, you can, with gay, with you know, two guys having sex, you can still see that kind of penetration that, you know, is appealing, but you haven't got to watch a woman be demeaned and degraded.
Mm.
So, you know, and two people are both getting off generally, and you can tell the guy isn't faking it generally because he's shot off everywhere. So it's great.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I've never been silent before in this studio.
I think you've answered my question.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Ruby.
So, Paul, I think we can all agree that a lot of the porn that we see is...
My fear is young people watching some of this porn.
It's ugly and it's not real.
That's how men's bodies should be. Yeah. That's my greater fear with porn at this point in time.
So this week I'm teaching sex ed at my school and with the grade sixes. And my principal asked me if I could talk to him about pornography because it, you know, happens in primary school sometimes too. And that's exactly what I talked about. It was like what you're seeing in pornography is complete works of fiction.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's teaching you the complete... This is the worst place you can possibly learn about having sex because it's teaching you how not to treat women, basically.
Yes.
Mm. And it's not having respect for relationships and all those sorts of things. So, yeah.
And not safe sex.
And not safe
absolutely
sex.
Absolutely not.
And, yeah,
not safe sex.
No. So, yeah, I really an advocate for just letting kids know that pornography is not the right place to learn about things.
It's pretty frightening. Like, you hear some teachers from, like, you know, schools talk about, you know, there are 13 and 40-year-old girls who are having boys say, you know, asking for oral sex and just thinking that's totally normal because it's because, you know, now kids have got access to the internet and while social media has just taken over, there's a lot of porn on the internet.
Mm.
Shocking, I know, but there's a lot.
There's a
and
lot.
It's and very it's, easy to find. It's free.
And it's so accessible and it doesn't matter what sort of parental restrictions you put on your computers at home because I've got kids and I've tried it all. You know, you can't block it.
To that section of biography
yeah,
books.
Yeah, you're supposed
to walk through.
Like, it's too easy.
My principal explained it this way with the kids is that when we were at school, probably not Ruby, but the rest of us, maybe not Becky either, but we looked up the word sex in the dictionary to access that. The kids can type that into a computer now and they come up with all this pornography and whatever else that was we didn't have access to when we were younger easily anyway, so...
Actually, I think it's interesting. If you type in, like, you know, gay into YouTube, you'll get a bunch of, like, videos of gay guys talking about different stuff. If you type in lesbian, you get porn.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that kind of sums up how a lot of straight people do see the queer community.
I learned that the hard way. I was very new to Instagram and Twitter, and I had to promote a short film, which was a lesbian film. And I'm like, hashtag, and then it was getting blocked. And I'm like, I've just got a picture of behind the scenes on a really nice romantic comedy. What's going on? And then I started following the hashtag going, I can't use that hashtag anymore. I've got to find a better hashtag to bring the right audience to this because
it's difficult because it affects gay men as well. Because for a lot of younger guys, they'll look up gay porn as a way to learn about being gay, which gives, you know, which is a really horrific idea because there can be, you know, they play with age disparities and stuff like that, you know, anyway, it's damaging, but there is some good stuff out there, but you usually have to pay for it. And I know that's a lot of people don't like to pay for their porn anymore.
So we have been talking women's sexual health tonight on Stand Up Straight. Thank you for joining us. You are on Joy 94.9.
It's a be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You are with Beck and Stephanie, Clayton and Ruby and Gina. We've been talking women's sexual health tonight. And all of us, I think, have blushed in the studio at some stage.
I've learnt some stuff, though.
Yes, good. Have I. And yes. This is the great thing about bringing people into the
studio.
That's right.
We're always learning.
And asking questions. And I think it was Ruby who said earlier on, there are no stupid questions around sexual health. Anyway, I think I've asked a few tonight.
I know, I like being quoted.
But before the break, we were talking about where not to get information from. And, you know, we think that... obviously, porn sites are not a great place to get information from. Where are some of the good sites? Where should we go to look? Where should young lesbians or young bisexual women?
I'd highly recommend, as you have the internet now, you are so lucky, and all you need to do is type the word lesbian or bisexual safesex.gov.au, and more than likely you are going to fall onto a very reputable site that will give you the information you need.
I think even putting in, like, you know, putting in bisexual sexual health won't flood you with porn anymore. No. There'll actually be information or, like, you know, there's been recent studies done in Australia and the UK that have come out with some really good information, so you can read up on that. By putting in, you know, lesbian sexual health or, and of course as well, you know, not every woman who has sex with a woman identifies as lesbian or bisexual. So there's information out there for them too, which is really good. And yeah, there's some really fun ways of learning on the internet too, like really pretty pictures and, you know, like really like fun cartoons. And it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
You can buy like plush toys to like get an idea of how everything works. Yeah,
wow.
Man. Like a plush vagina that has all the bits, like, you know, so you can kind of get an idea of how it all looks and how it all goes.
I know some straight men that could do with one of those too, actually.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming, Beck.
I know what I want in my stocking now.
Yeah.
And pretty much every gay man could do one of those.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I have to be, like, I kind of, like, I think sometimes that gay men, maybe they just play it up, but, like, you know, the disgust of the vagina is actually really shaming and they need to cut it out.
But they want to grab our boobs all the time.
Yeah.
Which, you know, breast check, male and female, men and women should be having breast checks. So
is there a lot of information in the community? Like, you know, I guess going back to what you were saying, Gina, about your first experience was with an older woman who wasn't helpful, I guess, one of a better phrase. But is it something that people talk about and, you know... I don't know. And the older lesbians to the younger lesbians.
I'm quite serious that just Beck's face right now. Hey, Luca J. Look, I find I'm more hearing from my older lesbian friends that they're not seeking, you know, regular pap smears. That concerns me more, and have not got a regular GP. Most of my, you know, friends of my age are in long-term monogamous relationships. You know, we sit around and talk about dinner and the best place we got a coffee, but nobody talks about that kind of sexual health. I do probably have those conversations more with men and gay men. So, look, my advice to anyone is find yourself someone, you know, a regular GP that you can talk to and be honest about your health. Take care of your own health. If you are single and dating lots of people, practice safe sex. Avoid mixing drugs, alcohol and sex together because you'll make bad choices. Yeah. And if you have made a bad choice, go and get yourself tested just for yourself, but to make sure you don't pass anything.
And if you're going to use a dildo on more than one person, put a condom on it.
Yeah. Be careful with your sex toys if you are sharing them. Yeah, absolutely.
Gina, I was concerned when doing my research to see that heart disease is still the number one killer of all women. But just from what I was reading, and it was an American site, so it might not relate to Australia, but lesbian and bisexual women have a higher rate of smoking and stress, which are, and obesity, it said also, which are factors which cause heart disease. So,
And actually bisexuals have worse mental health. We have the worst mental health on the sexuality spectrum. Yeah. We have that probably comes from the fact that only about 30% of us ever come out and only 12% of bisexual men ever come out. And that's a big issue as well, because a lot of bisexual men will have sex with men and it may not be safe and they'll go on and have sex with women, or they won't practice safe sex with men because they don't want to talk about it, or they won't go seek any checks because they don't want to talk about it as well. And so, rates of smoking. bisexual smoke more as well, because actually, which is not great. And any cause of, and the problem with mental health and discrimination is that it also stops help-seeking behaviours. And the issue that comes with that is that, you know, you don't go and find out that information that you need. Unless you're already in the community, it can be very hard to find the ways to get inside of it, to get the information. Which is why the internet is great.
Internet is great. Sometimes.
So in summing up, lesbian and bi women can, what they can do to protect their health is stop smoking.
Not make assumptions that they can't catch STIs that are out there in the community. That's a major assumption. Yeah.
Or that their partners haven't had STIs before.
Yeah. Regular pap smears, regular breast checks. Yeah. Reducing drug and alcohol.
Stock up on the dental dams.
Yep.
When you find a place, just buy a whole bunch all at once. Lots
don't be scared to talk about your history and use it, I don't know, to turn yourself, you know, to turn each other on when you're having foreplay, because you might then stop.
And communication before any sort of sexual activity, I guess that's kind of
good advice for anyone, really, isn't it?
Anyone. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're almost at the top of the hour, so we are going to come back with a bit of a wrap-up in just a moment.
Hi, this is Adelaide, and you're listening to my mum, Stephanie, and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Say you'll remember
me. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have had such a great hour here on Stand Up Straight, and I'd really like to thank our wonderful guests, Ruby and Gina, who have been so open and so informative, and Beck and I.
And Clayton, answered all our silly questions.
Answered all our silly questions, and we've learned so much. Mm. And I'm just going to throw the mics back to you just for one last opportunity. What is your one piece of advice?
I don't know. Celebrate yourselves as much as we celebrate each other. This advice should be passed on to all women of every sexual persuasion. Not knowing you can't use a dental dam, please.
Yeah, no.
That's my takeaway tonight.
Yeah. Knowing how a vagina works and what feels good is definitely something that heterosexual women should prioritise. I think, and that's the thing as well, I think when you're in a queer, you realise how open women are about talking about vaginas and everything, and then how straight women cannot be at the same extent. So go and talk about it. It's great.
And Cosmo and Claire have all that stuff anyway. Like,
they've got websites.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to close now with a bit of advice from the Sisters and Brothers of the Order of Perpetual Indulgence. And they're part of a worldwide order of queer people of all sexualities. They have an interesting site that's worth looking at that details many of the STIs, and at the bottom of a rather daunting page of STIs and their effects and their treatments, it lists this last thing, guilt, as the most malicious of all infections. You can have it for years without realising it, and the majority have it to some good degree. It's spread by letting someone else tell you what's good for you, especially religious organisations and politicians. Symptoms include low self-esteem, feeling bad after a good time, and judgmental behaviour towards others. If left untreated, it can lead to an inability to enjoy yourself, large counselling bills, and irresponsible behaviour leading to epidemics of sexually transmitted infections. It can, however, be treated by learning to love and respect yourself and your own values and having a good laugh.
Hear, hear.
Well, yay.
Well done.
Thank you again for joining us tonight, and we will look forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.